Rejoice in night and day as I walk the pilgrim way. For the hand of God in all my life I see. The reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is there, that the Comforter abides here. Oh, He abides here. Oh, He abides, He abides. Oh, hallelujah, He abides in me. For I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk through the way. Oh, the Comforter abides with me. Oh, once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at His feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Oh, now the Comforter abides with. Oh, He abides here. Oh, He abides here. Oh, hallelujah, yeah. Oh, with me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I did my way. Oh, for the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this tithes and offering. We thank you for your children expressing their love towards you, O Lord. Bless now their jobs, bless their families, bless everything they do, O Lord. We commit this in your hand. Let it be for your glory in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Amen. Sing this song. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Amen.
I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad. That Jesus lifted me, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. I'm on my way. I'm on my way to, to glory land. I'm on my way to glory land. I'm on my way to glory land. I'm on my way, praise the Lord, I'm on my way. Oh, salvation is free, why don't you come? Salvation is free, why don't you come? Salvation is free, oh, why don't you come? I'm on my way, praise the Lord, I'm on my way. Oh, if you don't go, don't hinder me. If you don't go, don't hinder me. If you don't go, don't hinder me. Oh, I'm on
on my way. Praise the Lord, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to glory land. I'm on my way to glory land. I'm on my way to glory land. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord, I'm on my way. Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus has me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus has me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, singing glory, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus set me free. Oh, I am. I'm so glad that Jesus looked at me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus looked at me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus looked at me. Sing the glory, hallelujah. Jesus looked at me. Amen. Let's give a hand clap of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song. Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day. My chosen, my Savior and my God, well, may this glory light be thrown and tell its rapture. Oh, happy day, happy day, oh, happy day, when Jesus will my sins away. Took me out to watch him pray and live rejoicing every day. Oh, happy day.
Oh, say happy day.
Happy. Oh, when Jesus wore my sins away. Oh, happy one. That seals my vow to him who made all my life. Let cheerful answers fill his heart. While to that sacred shrine I move.
Oh, happy day,
happy day. Sins away. Oh, he told me he told us to watch and pray. Oh, and live rejoicing every happy day, happy day. Oh, when Jesus died, I sailed away. This thunder prayer transactions that I owe my Lord and is mine. Oh, he drew me out. I followed on, time to confess the voice of
happy day.
Jesus will my sins away. He told me all he told us to watch and pray. And then rejoice in every happy day.
Happy day.
Happy day. When Jesus will my sins away. Oh, happy day, happy day,
happy day,
when Jesus
will
my sins away. Oh, he told me
how, he told me how,
he watched him pray. Oh, and let rejoice in every day. Happy day. my sins away.
Oh, praise God. Oh, what's a happy day. How many want to press on tonight? Amen. Let's sing the song, I'm Pressing On. Amen.
I'm pressing on, day after day. No, I'm talking, man, every day. Still praying as I'm on the top. Open my feet on higher. Oh, Lord, lift me up as I may stand. My feet on Him, the stable air, the higher place. Open my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where bombs arise and fears dismay. Oh, where some may dwell, where tears abound, but my prayer, my name is higher. Oh, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My feet on the stable land, a higher blood than I found. Oh, plant my feet on higher ground. Oh, I want to stand on the side and catch a glimpse of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I'll fall. Oh, lead me on to higher. Oh, lift me up and let me stand. My feet on heaven, the stable land. Oh, higher, higher, blue than I am. I fall. Oh, look at my feet on higher ground. Oh, lift me up and let me stand. My feet on heaven, the stable land. Higher, blood than I am. I found to plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. Let's sing this one. If I live a holy life, if I shun the wrong and do the right. Amen.
If I live a holy life, oh, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. Oh, if I live a holy life, if I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. Yes, Lord, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way. Oh, if I live a holy life, if I live, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord. Oh, if I live a holy life, if I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right.
saints, that's our desire this evening, that he'll make a way for us to come really unto him. Because if we can just touch him this evening, that makes all the difference. That's true. Touching Jesus, that's all that really matters. Let's open our Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's read from verse 9, just a few verses. 1 Samuel 1 from verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Let's also read James chapter 5, verse 16. James 5, verse 16, just that verse, once again. James 5, 16, Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Father, we thank you for grace. Lord, we thank you for access. We thank you for mercy. Thank you for invitation. Thank you, Father, for divine prompting in our souls to come unto you. Father, won't you quicken us this night? Bless your people that have gathered, Lord. Bless them that are still on the way. Be glorified in our petitions upon this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Maybe you see the saints. Amen. James chapter 5, we read that verse last week as well. And the portion of that verse we just want to think about a little bit, won't take long before we come to prayer this evening, is about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Hallelujah. And if you decide to take it from there, we'll take just that one word, fervent. So we just speak a little bit about fervency. Because it's speaking of a certain something. There's a certain type of prayer here, and it's called a fervent prayer. So it's speaking about fervency. And I really liked when I looked in the dictionary today to see what is the definition of being fervent. What is fervency? Fervency is having or displaying a passionate intensity. So when you have a passionate intensity about something. So it's saying when a person is righteous in their life and they come in prayer with a passionate intensity, something's going to take place. You know, can you just see what it's speaking? So, and that's a serious thing, that is, how can we come to a place in prayer or in anything that you do as believers that we have a passionate intensity? That's why we read about Hannah, because Hannah had a passionate intensity. She didn't make a lot of noise, but there was an intensity coming from her heart. There was a passionate something. There was something taking place. The other meanings of the word fervent, to have fervency, a fervent prayer, firstly, passionate. Secondly, intense.
Amen.
Yeah, there's certain seasons and certain times where God calls for us to be intense. You don't always have to be intense. You couldn't be intense all your life. It's not natural.
Amen.
But there's certain seasons where he really, really calls us to be intense. And James was speaking of one of those seasons. He said, if somebody is sick, if somebody is really needing the Lord to move on their behalf, you can't just pray a normal type of prayer. You've got to pray a passionate prayer. Now you've got to pray a fervent prayer. So it's got to be intense. Another meaning of it is sincere. Remember they said to the prophet, the problem with you is you're too sincere. No, you'll kill yourself being so sincere. And he says, I don't ever think you can be too sincere serving the Lord. You can never be. And he says, and the more sincere you are, the more God will hear you and bless what you do. So it's a sincerity. So when you're coming in prayer, it's speaking of a sincerity. It's speaking of a passion. You know, so there's a feeling involved in it. You know, it's not just Jesus saying to the others, remember he said, these people, they draw nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart is far away. That's not fervency. Fervency is you're passionate in what you're doing. You know, that when you're coming to pray, when you're coming to approach the Lord, when you're speaking to him, there's a sincerity, there's a passion there. It also means heartfelt. So you're praying from your heart. We saw that with Hannah. She prayed in her heart. And she had such a passion, such an intensity, such a sincerity in her prayer that Eli thought she was drunk because of the way that she was praying. Friends, that's a real, real serious way of praying. We'll see. How do you ever get yourself into that place? Now, what is the requirement? How does a person get yourself into that kind of a place? It also means wholehearted. So to be fervent means to be wholehearted. So you're not double-minded, but you're coming with all your heart. Now your whole heart is in what you're doing. And friends, all of these things that I'm saying about prayer today is what we'd really desire to be when we go to these youth meetings. We don't want to be half-hearted. We don't want to be double-minded. That's when you don't receive anything from the Lord. But if you prepare yourself, as we've been speaking these days, that we go with sincerity, that we go with some passion, a passionate desire, that we go wholeheartedly to do the things that we're going to do. Friends, these are the things that God respects. These are the things that really gets the attention of the Lord. These are the things that brings down his blessing. It's when we approach divine things this way, to be wholehearted. This means a passionate intensity. People who are intense in their desire to serve and to worship God. No, they're intense. They want to do it properly. They don't want to do it at all. No, they don't want to be, you know, the antonym, the opposite of this word in the dictionary is to be apathetic. You know what apathy is? When you don't really care much about it. You know, you're not really committed to what you're doing. You have apathy. Friends, let's never be apathetic. As we approach the Lord in prayer, let's not be apathetic in our prayer. That's not the type of prayer that gets heard, but it says the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. No, it's got to take this kind of prayer. Like I'm saying, people pray in different ways. Some people like to shout. That's why I read Hannah, because she didn't make any noise. So it's not the intensity or the volume of your prayer that makes it intensity, but it's the attitude of your heart. It's that something that's moving inside of your heart, that there's a passionate desire. Like we were singing the song there, I really was so glad we sang it just before we came to the pulpit, was Higher Ground. Amen. And friend, if any of you young people are going to the youth camp without having a passionate desire to say, Lord, I want to come back from there having got to a higher ground. Honestly, I wonder if you're going to go and get anything from this camp. But if you go with that passionate desire, with an intensity, with a sincerity, and you pray down that line to say, Lord, I want to come back from there having had got to a height that I've never got to before. I want something to happen to take me to a higher ground. Others may desire to stay down here in the valley, but as for me, there's something stirring inside of my heart. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears. Others may dwell where these abound, but my prayer, my aim is higher ground. And friend, in order to get to higher ground, you've got to be fervent. You've got to have a fervency in what you do. You've got to be wholehearted in your approach. And that's why prayer is such an important thing when you're speaking about these things. So it means being wholehearted. So it means you seek him with all your heart. That's exactly what he said in the desperation message when the prophet reads Jeremiah 29 verse 13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall seek me with all your heart. Amen. So he's saying, if you want to find me, come fervently. Come with fervency. You know, come and seek me with all your heart. Friend, because God is more than, how can you say it, more than worthy of being sought with all our hearts. You know, he is. He's an object that is worth seeking beyond anything that you ever sought before. Hallelujah. Because of who he is. You know, so we shouldn't come any other way. And the final meaning of this word from the dictionary is, when you're speaking of fervency, you're speaking of zeal. You know, I remember once listening a long time back to a brother preach, and he said, zeal goes beyond duty. Amen. So it's not doing something as a duty. You're not praying just because it's time to pray. You're not going to the camp just because other people are going to camp. But there's a zeal, there's a fervency, there's something inside of you that you're going there for a specific purpose. You wanted to meet up with him. You wanted to fellowship with him. There's an aim and an objective in the things that you're doing. You're focusing on a certain something, like Hannah. You have a certain desire, a certain burden, a certain objective that you're wanting to achieve. And you're pouring everything out to get to that objective. Now, anything else which comes in the way to sidetrack you, when a person has fervency, fervency gives you perseverance. Fervency gives you a momentum. That it doesn't matter what the devil puts inside of your way. He can't stop somebody who's got a divine fervency. If you've got a fervency, it's something that doesn't take no for an answer. It's that kind of fervency like Hannah had. And friends, that's what you really desire to have. Now, if you look in the Bible, the meaning of that word, effectual, fervent. It's one word in the Bible, it's two in English. But effectual, fervent prayer, it's a single word. It's the word where we get the English word energetic. It's the word energeo. Energetic. So this is energetic type of prayer. And it's not only meaning energetic because you jump up and down. You may jump up and down. You may want to run around. You can pray any way that you want. But it's speaking about there's a certain type of energy in your prayer. Amen. It's not just a listless, lifeless sort of a prayer. But it's a prayer that's got energy inside of it. And that's what it's speaking about. An effectual, fervent prayer. It means energetic supplication. Amen. So there's an energy. There's a power in your supplication. And it also means it's such a prayer as is suggested to the soul and wrought in the soul by divine energy. So it's not your own energy we're speaking about here. But to offer a fervent, effectual prayer, there's a certain divine energy that comes at that time when you pray. You will sense it and you can feel it at that time that there's something different here. You know, it's like there's been the troubling of the waters. You know, that's why there's a principle that God has in his word that whenever God wants to visit his people, you find it right in the book of Zechariah, chapter 11 and 12. When God wants to visit his people, the first thing he does, he pours out the spirit of grace and supplication upon the people. Like he energizes the prayer of people. People all of a sudden will get a divine passion, a divine energy in their prayer that they didn't have before. Something comes to assist you in prayer. And friend, that is an evident token that God wants to give you the thing that you're praying for. Because he's energizing. He's the one who's quickened this to your soul. He's the one who's quickening your prayer. There's a divine energy. You're able to pray with an energy, divine energy, which you don't have in your normal type of prayer. And friend, that kind of prayer is what James is speaking about. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That when you're praying, there's an energy in that prayer. There's a certain energy beyond just your zeal, just beyond your type of prayer. That something comes and gets inside of your prayer. And that is always the way that God does things to prepare his people. He gives people the spirit of prayer. And friend, it's very hard to expect any divine blessing if you don't have the spirit of prayer. Because God will always prepare you. Because what did Jesus say about the sower going forth to sow? Now, so much of the sowing didn't bring forth what it should have because the ground wasn't prepared. Now, some of the ground had thorns. Some of the ground was stony ground. Some of it was the birds of the air. But there was another type of ground which was good ground, which is prepared ground. And the way that God prepares the hearts of people for his blessing, the way he prepares people for his word, which will bring forth of its own kind in their life, is he quickens people unto prayer. And in prayer, when you now start making supplication, the prophet says prayer doesn't change God, prayer changes you. It now creates an atmosphere inside of you. God has always wanted to give you that blessing. He always wanted to give Hannah that child. Now the season had come. And now she could sense when she went to that meeting now, when she went to the tabernacle now for the feast, she could sense that time it was different. She'd always gone and prayed. I'm sure every day she would go up to that same place and pray. But this time something was different. There was a divine energy. When she started to pray, she could sense inside of herself, this isn't just me praying. Something is helping me here to pray. And when the angel comes down and troubles the waters, friends, you got to take advantage of that season. If you want to be apathetic at that kind of a time, if you don't discern and sense that God, He wants to do something for me, I can sense it, I can feel it. And now you take that back to the Lord in prayer. He's the one who gives you the desire in your soul. And He is the one who even quickens you so that you can come and approach Him in prayer. So that you can now lay a hold of Him in prayer. Lay a hold of the throne of grace. And you'll lay a hold and you won't let it go until the blessing comes. It's those certain seasons, friends, that you need to take advantage of those seasons. When you can sense that God wants to do something. There's something different. That there's something working inside of my heart because the devil's going to be working as well. So God is going to energize you. And in that energy, in that divine impulse that He gives you in that season, there's more than enough power of perseverance. There's more than enough power to overcome whatever the devil does. If you'll just give yourself over wholeheartedly, if you'll just do it, not apathetically, not, you know, half-heartedly, but you do it wholeheartedly now. Now you do have a fervency in what you're doing. You can sense the possibility. You know something's taking place in this season. Friend, without that, nothing ever changes. You know, you just become more religious. You go along to a camp meeting, you learn a lot of things, you come back. Now you go along, you have fellowship with your friends, you come back. You don't want it to be like that. Now surely at some point there's got to be a higher ground. Surely at some point, I remember when the saints went 2 years back to Switzerland. Yeah, you remember? And certain people came back from there different than they went. There was a higher ground. There was something that was attained. Our friends, those are precious things. And when God brings His people together, He always desires to meet His people in a special way. But the first thing He has to do to people is try to quicken them in prayer. Try to get people to prepare themselves, to get a wholeheartedness, to become passionate in seeking God once again. To have a fervency, a wholeheartedness in saying, I'm not going then coming back the same. This time, no matter what comes, I'm not going to get caught up talking foolish things. I'm not going to get caught up wasting my time on other things. I want to seek the Lord. I want something to take place inside of my soul. I want to change. I've been praying about certain things for so long, but it seems the situation never changes. I want this to be the season of the change. I want this to be the time now that it's effectual. Something has an effect inside of my life. Because it's got to be done at some time. And what better time when God separates His people in a certain place away from the hustle and bustle of life. And God gives you several days of meetings, one after another, and getting up in the morning for prayer meeting as well. Yeah, you can take advantage of a season like that, but it needs a fervency at that kind of a time. It doesn't mean need just your normal run-of-the-mill way of just conducting things. It's a fervency that is required. And God always will give you that if He sees that it's time for the blessing and He sees that you're desiring the blessing. It's like Jacob that time, he felt something different that day. You know, when he went out and prayed, like we said the other day. Now, when he went out to the brook Peniel and he met God face to face, go and read at the beginning of that same chapter. Jacob had prayed. He went and he prayed and nothing happened in his prayer. And when he came back from his prayer that day, he was just as worried and just as nervous about the situation as he was when he started his prayer. But when he went later on in the chapter now, it was God's time now. And now he prayed a fervent prayer. Amen. Now he prayed an effectual prayer. Why? Because there was a divine presence there. There was something there which was different than before. As he started to pray, he could sense there's a potential and a possibility now for this situation to come to an end. And friend, like I say, when that season comes, you've got to take advantage. Satan's going to try to sidetrack you. He's going to try to discourage you, try to throw all manner of things in your way. But when you have a zeal and a fervency inside of your heart to say, I don't want just to be a professor, I want to be a possessor of these things. And I want to go beyond where I've been before. Friend, and then you have that passion inside of you, that zeal inside of your heart, that wholeheartedness to say, no, this time, Lord, like Buddy Robinson, yeah? If you don't give me the Holy Ghost now, you come back, you're going to find bones here. No, it's that kind of a determination. And the reason he felt like that is that God was quickening him. Because God wanted that situation to come to an end. So God now sent the spirit of supplication to draw near to the man. And the man could sense there's something different today. In my approach to God, I have an access that I haven't felt before. There's an energy, there's an anointing, there's a divine power here. And friend, take advantage of that. Allow that anointing, allow that divine energy to quicken you in prayer. Because then you'll be able to lay a hold of God like Jacob. And even though you'll be saying, let me go, you'll be saying, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I want to be changed. I'm tired of coming and going the same way. And Hannah had to do that time as well. Friend, and every person in the Bible who really had anything from God had to approach God that way. Because God is not going to bless you if you're half-hearted. How can God bless us if you approach him in a half-hearted? God isn't half-hearted in the things that he does for us. So how can we be half-hearted in what we do for him? No. And he will give us the quickening. He'll give us what we need if he sees there's a desire inside of there. He will energize you with that kind of a prayer so that you can be fervent in what you do. This word to be effectual, a fervent, effectual prayer, means to energize. So your prayer is now energized. Your approach is now energized. Friends, every believer knows what I'm talking about here. There's those seasons when there's power available around you. When the Bible says the power of God was present to heal, remember? You've got to take advantage in those seasons. The prophet says, because at other seasons, maybe his power wasn't available in that way to heal. When the angel came down in the water, there was a divine energy there. If you stepped in at that time, it wasn't just you. Other seasons you could get in, it was just a human effort being put forward. But at that time when he came down in his season, when you stepped in at that time, it was effectual. Something was going to change. Something would take place. And friend, that is my prayer for every single person who's going to this camp. That we're not going there half-heartedly. We're not going there with apathy. You're not going there listless and lifeless. But we're going with some passion in our heart. That we're going wholeheartedly. We're going with a fervency. We're going to go with a fervency because, friends, with all of the obstacles that are against us inside of our lives, all the spiritual warfare we go through, the flesh, all of the misunderstandings that happen among God's people, if you don't have that, Satan will stop you in your tracks. And then you start finding yourself going backwards. Just when you're getting a momentum, your momentum comes to nothing. Because it needs a zeal, it needs an effectual, fervent kind of a desire inside of you. And if you desire just now in your heart to say, this time it's going to be different, I guarantee you God will open heaven and he will start giving you tonight that energy, that divine energy, which will enable you now to pray an effectual fervent prayer. That will enable you, quicken you to seek him until you find him. Because it'll be the season. Because God can see, yes, now I can see it's no more just gathering there for other purposes. But now, this person's come and they mean business. And when you mean business, he's going to mean business as well. And when those two things come together, you come back changed. You come back on a higher ground. You're not the same as you went. You'll come back with an experience, with something that he'll do for you that he's never done for you before. And surely that's what we all desire. Every single one. If we don't desire that, why are we going? Why are we going? We've got to do that. And if that's not our desire, friends, we're here tonight to pray once again. And you ask the Lord to do something inside of your heart. To say, Lord, stir up my heart. Unite my heart to fear your name. You know, I want to go. I want the desire to be there. I want there to be something, a burning inside of me. I want a determination. I want a wholeheartedness in the things that I do. Because, friends, he's worthy of us doing that. So an effectual, fervent prayer. It means power in exercise. That the power is now available for you to exercise that power at that time. Before, there's just been the power of God. But now the power of God, He makes it available to you. He energizes you in prayer. So you can now exercise that power. He quickens you. Now you know it's not just me. This is not just my words. But there's a divine energy in my words. Our friends, that's a prayer that avails much. That's a prayer that gets the job done. That's a prayer that finishes things that should have been finished and have been lingering for a long time. But now you pray that kind of a prayer like Hannah did that day, and it brings that situation to an end.
Amen.
Now you get it to an end. Now you finish up the things that need to be finished up. But it needs, like James said, the effectual, fervent prayer. Fervency in your prayer. Passion, wholeheartedness, sincerity. That's the type of prayer that we need to offer. We need to come before Him in that kind of a way. This kind of prayer is prayer that performs.
Amen.
It's effectual prayer. It brings forth the effect. So if any of us tonight pray an effectual prayer, Sister Julie is coming out of the hospital.
Amen.
Any of us. Because this is prayer that brings the effect.
Amen.
This is prayer where He quickens your prayer to pray according to His will. It's prayer that will never take no for an answer because there's a divine energy in your prayer. He is quickening you. He is saying, come and ask me. It's time now. And He puts the desire in you. Then He energizes you in your prayer. And then He answers your prayer.
Amen.
That's the way that He wants it to be. That's the kind of prayer. This is God-breathed prayer.
Amen.
This is God praying through you.
Amen.
When you don't know how to pray, then the Holy Ghost gives you an unction. There's a quickening power that comes. And now you start praying according to the will of God. But friends, you have to take advantage of those seasons. You've got to, desire that kind of prayer. Now, if you've just been lifeless and listless in your prayer, other people pray, and you pray just your 2-3 minutes and you run out of things to say, let it be different tonight. Don't take no for an answer. Don't accept defeat. Push on, press on. So how can other people be breaking through into another realm and I'm still down in this earthly dimension? How long am I going to stay like this? Surely there's got to be a time that I myself also start hitting this higher ground that we're singing about. But you have to have the fervent desire inside of yourself. This is prayer that always hits the target within the veil. When you pray an effectual, fervent prayer, like Hannah did, we've read it there, she was no more sad.
Amen.
She knew I've hit the target.
Amen.
Like we said, Jacob at the beginning of that chapter, he went and he prayed his normal human prayer. Oh Lord, please deliver me from Esau. Won't you help me, Lord? Oh. And then he came from his prayer, and now he's using all of his guile and his cunning now, still to try to get the job done. That wasn't an effectual prayer. But now God puts him in a situation, because it was God's time, said, this must come to an end now.
Amen.
And God puts him in a place, and now there comes divine energy.
Hallelujah.
Now there's a power available for Jacob to pray an effectual prayer. And when he prays this prayer, inside of himself, he knows the job is done.
Amen.
It may not have unfolded itself outwardly yet, but inside of the man, he knew. God doesn't deceive. God doesn't quicken a person to pray for something that He doesn't desire to give them. And if God has given me this quickening power to approach Him, and I could sense in my soul when I prayed, it struck the target within the veil. You'll be like Hannah, you'll be no more sad. Where before you weren't eating, yeah, and you were grieved and all those things. But when you come from that kind of prayer, you go and you eat your food as normal. Because you know the job is done. It's effectual. This is going to take an effect. And friends, that's what we want as we come to pray. And that's what we want when you go to the youth camp. That's how we want our prayer to be. That's how we want our services to be. We want them to be effectual services. But that means we've got to come with a desire. We've got to come with a passion inside of ourselves. To say, Lord, you don't want just these just to be normal meetings. We want to meet with you. We want fellowship with you. We want the divine. We want the supernatural to come. We want something to quicken and raise us up into a place that you've never been before.
Hallelujah.
And friends, you get what you expect.
Yes.
If you don't expect that, you're not going to get it. But if God can just stir that up inside of ourselves. So this is prayer that produces the results. This is prayer that starts things moving. That when you pray this kind of a prayer to that mountain that's in your way, when you finish your prayer, the grains are starting to fall, like the prophet said already. And you're just at peace now because things are on the move. It's effectual prayer. There's a divine something in the prayer, and you've spoken under divine unction. And now that same energy that quickened you in the prayer is the same energy that's gone forth now to produce the result. That's what it has to be. And that's why fervent, effectual prayer, it's focused prayer. You can never pray a fervent, effectual prayer until you get focused in your prayer. This isn't just general prayer that you're praying just generally for the government and you're praying for other things. No, there's a genuine object that you have. There's something that God has stirred up inside of your soul for you to desire. And at that time, that becomes your passion. That becomes an earnest desire. You're saying, oh, if only I could, he would do this for me. And when you're going to pray like Hannah, you have one thing in mind. It's a burden of your soul. It's something that's weighty. It's something that's heavy. It's something now that you're putting all your focus on. Friend, at that kind of a time, that's becoming an effectual prayer. It's not just the general type of prayer that you pray for everyone else, which is a good prayer. But this is that kind of prayer where you've had enough now. It's gone on for too long. It's like, give me liberty or give me death. It's that kind of prayer. It's that kind of Samson prayer when he says, avenge, Lord, let me be avenged of mine enemies. And then you'll find there's a something that takes place at that kind of a time. It's focused prayer. It's persevering prayer. It's prayer that focuses on the object it's praying for, and it focuses on the source, on God himself. You're coming before him now, and you're seeking him with all your heart. Amen. That's the condition, friend, that's required. Listen how the prophet says it as before we come to pray in desperation when he speaks about Hannah. Because the prophet says, where I got that word fervency from, in the message desperation, the prophet says, James chapter 5 verse 6, the effectual fervent prayer says, fervency means desperation. So that's another word for fervency, is desperation, passion, wholeheartedness, intensity. Those are all the meanings of that word. So it says Hannah, a barren woman in the Bible, she wanted a son and she got fasting for him. And she fasted and prayed until even the priest at the temple thought she was drunk. She was in such a desperation. While the rest of the women were watching what kind of a bonnet the one had wore, and you know how it goes, and the other one seeing what kind of clothes they had on. Can you see what he's saying? Wow. They came to the youth camp here, and there were other youth that just got there saying, hey, speaking about fashion, other youth speaking about all these other just natural things of life, others getting caught up in Facebook, and others just speaking general things. But Hannah was different. She hadn't come for that. She had a desire. And she wanted to see an effectual answer to her desire. She came with a single-hearted purpose this time. It was different this time. She had come to many feasts with her husband before. She had come and gone, like we said many times, she had come to the feast and gone back the same. She had come the next time to the feast, she had gone back the same. But this time something was moving inside of her soul to say, I'm not going back the same this time. Something is telling me this time it's going to be different. I'm not taking no for an answer this time. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going to get caught up in all these secondary things of life when there's this all-important thing that's bothering me day by day. How can I focus on all these other things and leave the main thing undone? When am I going to get down to business on this thing? This most important thing, this burden and desire inside of my heart is that he'll take away my reproach of barrenness. He says the rest of the women were doing those things, but they were talking about the things going on the farm. You know, those kind of general conversations. But not Hannah. She stepped right through the whole crowd and went to the altar. And you know why that was? Because God's time had come. She needed a prophet. And she had a desire. And God looked down and said, now your heart is set right. Therefore, I'm going to quicken you. This is not going to just be a normal prayer you're going to pray. This is going to be a fervent prayer. And she started to sense it, that, hey, something's different now. I've never felt him real like this before. I've never felt the possibility around me the way that it is now. And I'm sure the devil tried to throw a lot of distractions through Peninnah, a lot of distractions through the other woman round and about. But she was focused. She said, I'm not paying attention to other things. This time, I'm going to seek him until I find him.
Amen.
And surely, friends, for every one of us, at least once inside of our lives, you've got to put aside everything else and seek him until you find him.
Amen.
You've got to know him in that way.
Yes.
You've got to seek him until you find him. And he wants to be found of you. But he says, then you will seek me and then you will find me when you seek me with all your heart.
Yes.
That's fervency, friends.
Amen.
When you come with all your heart.
Amen.
Not half your heart is in the natural issues of this life. The other half is on general discussion of these things, but you're coming wholeheartedly.
Amen.
Friend, it's almost impossible in any group of people for everyone to be like it at the same time. But that's what it was like in the upper room. When you get a group of people together and all of them have come with that earnestness. All of them have come with a single-hearted aim and a focus in what they're doing. Something's going to take place. Something will always take place. Let's finish off. He says, she wanted her reproach taken away. So she got on her knees. And she never noticed the dignity of the temple. She never noticed the dignified priest as he walked out. She was in such a distress till her tears were rolling down her cheeks. And she was crying in desperation, Lord God, give me a son. Give me a son. She was focused. Yeah? She was desperate. And the prophet says, and there had been no open vision for many, many years in Israel. Samuel, the first prophet for many, many years, because a mother got desperate. She could have no children. What was it? God had spoken to her, no doubt. You can't be desperate until God speaks to you. So you can see the condition for fervent prayer. God has to start the process. When God draws near, when God speaks to you, when God gives you a great dissatisfaction inside of your soul for your current spiritual condition, when God brings you to a situation that you're no longer willing to bear that condition anymore, or when God speaks to you, when he quickens a promise to you, when he reveals something to your soul, and you can sense at that season something is different now. The prophet says, that brings a desperation.
Amen.
That's the time that God is expecting you to come with a fervency. That is the time when he's expecting us to come with a fervent kind of a prayer.
Amen.
An earnest kind of a prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
Now, just ask yourself before we pray, what are you going to the camp for? What are you going for? What are you hoping to achieve? What is your aim? What is your objective? What is your spiritual objective in going? What is a desire that you're seeking for God to meet? If you don't have one, friend, how can you expect anything to be done? Surely you've got to come to a stage that you're going there with a focus. You're going there with a purpose, with a determination. You're going there to say, Lord, I'm going to seek you concerning this. Or I'm going to seek you till I find you. Or I'm going to seek that you so fill me with your spirit that you'll take away all of these things that have troubled me for so long. There's got to be an objective, friends. And I do believe that he's the Lord of your life. He's been speaking to you. He's been dealing with you. He's been leading you up to this time. But I also know there's a devil. And at these kind of times, he tries to frustrate. He tries to get people busy. He tries to get so many other things in the way. And God's answer to that, if your heart is right, he will give you his divine energy. He will quicken you in your prayer. He'll quicken you in your desire. He will give you something. It'll give you a perseverance as long as he sees that your whole heart is in the things that you're doing. So let's seek him tonight wholeheartedly. It doesn't have to be long. You know, most of the real effectual fervent prayers in the Bible weren't long. But many times it takes us a long time to get to that place where we can offer that kind of a prayer. No, because you come in prayer, you haven't been in prayer for a while, your mind is confused, your mind is full of other things. There's no effectual fervent prayer there. So you come back again, maybe later on in the day, you come and you seek him again, you started to get some spiritual clarity. Some focus is started to come back. There's a divine reality drawing near. You come back at the time of the evening sacrifice. You come and you start seeking the Lord. Things are starting to shape up now. You get up tomorrow in the morning. You start seeking him once again with an earnestness. That you're not just going to pray a little prayer then continue on with life. But you're praying to say, Lord, I want to change. I want to draw near to you. You said if I draw near to you, you'll draw near to me. I guarantee it won't take you 2 days until you be praying effectual fervent prayer. It never, never, never fails. And then as we get there to the camp and we have prayer meeting tomorrow in the evening when we get there. Then we rise up Thursday morning, have some prayer. Then we get into the services for Thursday, have prayer again Friday morning. Services on Friday, prayer on Saturday morning. Services again on Saturday or on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. My friend, if your heart is determined to receive something from God, I guarantee you there's going to be far more of God which is willing to give than you even able to receive. But let's come about it the right way. And the best place that it starts is now. Best place that it starts is now. So let's come to prayer. And you ask the Lord to search you. And you say, Lord, help me. I want to be focused. I want to be wholehearted. I want to approach this the right way. I know, Lord, last time I went, you know, I was thinking of other things, but this time I wanted to be different. This time I want to meet you. This time I want to see why other people can come away from these things and be so changed. Lord, I want to receive these things myself. And I do believe that God will bless you. You need a perseverance. You need a fervency. You need some passion in your desire. You need to be determined. You need to hold on when he's working with you and allow the process to finish. And as we come back, I do believe that you'll be a living testimony. Amen. Not only will you come and stand before the church to say a testimony, hallelujah, but you'll be a testimony, yes, because of what God has done inside, amen, of your life. And let it be so. Amen. Just ask by George to come. Let's sing one song. Let's come to a time of prayer. And let's really pray that the Lord will help us. Let's pray for the young people who aren't here today, that the Lord will be with them. Some at work, some in different places. Let's really ask the Lord to continue to move and to prepare the way so that the hearts of each person will be prepared ground when we get there. That it won't just be gathering of people, but it'll be gathering under a divine program, which is what we want. Gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Why on earth thou art holy, do not pass me by. In my Lord and Savior,
thy throne of mercy. Fine as we will kneel in the rendered contrition, have my ambition, oh my Lord and Savior, my Lord and Savior, oh Savior, oh will you hear my humble cry, oh why not other flower, oh then please Lord, do not pass me back, oh I'm trusting tonight, I'm trusting only. I see thy faith, oh, hear my wounded, the broken spirit, oh, save me by thy grace, my Lord and Savior. Cry, oh, why on others have I fallen? Do not pass me, oh, my God, thou the spring of wood, my God. My Lord and Savior, oh Savior, say, oh will you hear my humble cry, oh why on others how it
while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let's come before the Lord. Let's put ourselves before him. Oh, Father, we come unto thee, Lord. That is our desire. Amen. Will you close for us, Brother George? If you'll close for us, brother. Let Brother George pray for us. Saints, whatever your desire inside of your heart, especially praying for the ministers. Brother Max taking prayer meeting tomorrow night and on Thursday morning. Brother Oliver Marange taking services Thursday and Friday morning. Brother Daniel Mazur coming Friday lunchtime, taking Friday evening, two services on Saturday, and taking the service here on Sunday. Let's remember the meetings the following weekend with Brother Lubanza. That'll be a special time. Let's remember all of these things in our hearts as we raise them up as we ask our brother to close. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we thank thee for
God bless saints. Let's sing one as we dismiss. If I could just see Brother Max and Brother Max Jr. quickly in the office just to finalize a few things straight after, if that would be okay. Saints, thanks. God bless. We have in Jesus all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, oh, what makes me up in fulfill. Oh, one moment's pain you bear. Trials and tribulations, Lord, the trouble away. So never be this knows our every way. Oh, Brother Max was just wanting to meet very quickly with myself, Brother Lubanza, and the officers of the church just quickly after service. So if you could just remain behind as the others depart. Thank you very much. God bless you. Let's
your Savior is still alive. I'm